Blog Talk Radio.
Today's episode of BSA Pod Dabbit is brought to you by Joe Sanders Mattress Emporium. Ever wish you could have a sleep that rivaled one of the gods? Well, with Joe Sanders Mattresses and their 100% money-back guarantee, you're sure to be visiting the Sandman sooner rather than later. And on to BSA Pod Dabbit number 121, where we welcome in Seattle GM and general sex enthusiast Kevin Carter to talk BSA baseball down the stretch, the playoffs, how awesome it is to have a moose in house, and what it's like to not have King Martinez.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's been a long time. It's been too long. It is me. It is me. It is the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of modern sensation of innovation, leader of the Bruins Nation on Blog Talk Radio here on BSA Pod number 121, bringing you everything and anything you want to know about of BSA. That is correct. That is professional online baseball league. I'm here, sitting here today, we're supposed to be here with Mr. Kevin Carter. He has been begging me to do a podcast for I don't know how long. He did not show up. But that's okay. He is apartment hunting. Some things take precedence, I understand. This is an outside venue, excuse me, for the very first time. I'm in my backyard in sunny, rainy Southern California here. It is 9 p.m. As I said, I had many statistics. I had many things to talk about. I'm trying to get someone on. I am talking to Aaron, but he's Canadian, so, you know, they're kind of slow at things. I messaged him one more time. Well, here's your chance. And I think Aaron's a little nervous. Aaron, you know, famously had the worst podcast in the history of BSA baseball. Aaron, one time, called in with me and Travis, and I should actually go back and find it. It was actually quite funny. Hold on. It was actually quite funny. Travis and myself called Aaron. I had Aaron calling. He didn't want to come on. And unfortunately for Aaron, all did not go well. He was calling him through Skype. There was a lag. I talked really quick. I kept interrupting him. Travis couldn't understand him because he's from Canada. I'm sure that's the reason. But we are into the month of August. We are, I would say, a little bit over two-thirds of the way through the BSA season. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about BSA baseball tonight. Yeah, I never enjoy doing these shows solo. Not that I can't do it if I'm prepared. But, of course, because I got someone sitting outside, I was not prepared to go solo. I was not prepared to not have stuff to, you know, just bounce off of people. So I'm just kind of sitting here winging it as I wait to see if Aaron's going to hop on. But, you know, I am excited to talk to baseball. I haven't done a podcast in a year. You know, actually, not a year. Excuse me. 5 months. 5 or 6 months. Before that, I did one more with Kevin. And before that, there was that podcast with Pickle, the guys that no one knew about here in the league. But I found it to be a very fun, riveting, and entertaining time. And actually, a positive feedback for that episode. However, we want to talk about it BSA baseball. We want to talk about it standings. And I'm actually interested to see if you guys enjoyed my little Joe Sanders, you know, intro. I'm trying to lower it next time. I haven't done this in a while, like I said. I haven't been fucking around with other things. Let's see who this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a number on the line, 775. I do not believe that's Kevin, but I believe it is one from the Great North. Or is it Kevin?
It's Kevin, but it could have been Bill. 775 is Reno.
You know what's so funny about that, Kevin? Thank you for calling in, because for those 3 minutes, I was like, you know, I was nervous, and Aaron was saying he wanted to come in and be the third wheel. So I'm like, okay, here's your chance. Let me text him. We are on, sir. Blah, blah, blah. You know what, Kevin? I'm going to pretend like these last 5 minutes didn't happen. I made a really cool intro for this show that I want you to hear, so I'm going to play it. It's about 25 seconds long.
Today's episode of BSA Pod Dabbit is brought to you by Joe Sanders Mattress Emporium. Ever wish you could have a sleep that rivaled one of the gods? Well, with Joe Sanders Mattresses and their 100% money-back guarantee, you're sure to be visiting the Sandman sooner rather than later. And on to BSA Pod Dabbit number 121, where we welcome in Seattle GM and general sex enthusiast Kevin Carter to talk BSA baseball down the stretch, the playoffs, how awesome it is to have a moose in-house, and what it's like to not have King Martinez.
Well, hello there. Good evening.
Good evening, Kevin. Welcome to BSA Pod Dabbit number 121. That's 121 live here on the Block Talk Radio family of networks. Now, I understand that it's just cutting out a little bit. It wasn't as nice as you know, I'm used to doing things via mobile device. Talk about opening Pod Dabbit going forward with a plug for a BSA Superstars business. Could you tell I was saying Joe Sanders, or was it kind of hard to understand, a little muffled?
No, I understood it was Joe Sanders, and that got me looking at what Joe Sanders has been doing lately. I hadn't followed him and hadn't heard much about him. Believe it or not, it's been 2018 since he was an All-Star. Just kind of crazy. Regularly posts like three war, but I remember we thought him, Brian, and Martinez were the second baseman of the future.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. I remember at the time I was like, hey, guys, I have a guy, you know, I've never had a lot of young prospects and stuff, but I had a guy in Los Angeles. I'm like, hey guys, he's not King Martinez or Mikey Bryant, but Ramon Lugo's pretty good, guys. I mean, pretty good guys. But I think, you know, Sanders, he's just been crippled by injuries, which actually we will talk about this evening, Kevin, because while you were away, while we talked playoffs, we talked about wanting to talk about the playoffs. We talked about wanting to, you know, discuss multiple things. And, you know, injury topic had, because you like to start fucking flame wars in BSA, because I guess that's your job now. But I went through today online, pulled and exported in the game every single injury this season, the length of the injuries, how frequent the injuries have been, and I polled and got responses, Kevin, from 12 different BSA GMs about how many injuries they thought happened in the BSA level only from the start of the 2023 season. Aside from Scott's asshole, I'm going to go way over the top remark and guess of over 600. No one was close. Do you have a guess? And this is only just for informational purposes, because we were talking
Number of injuries or number of players injured?
I didn't go through and count each individual player, but I did go through export to CSV, you know, do the whole fucking Excel thing. And I did go through and check, how many injuries we had on the BSA level this season. Do you have a guess?
I'm going to guess of any length or major injury?
No, just any length. I have the breakdown statistics. I've been putting in work, Kevin. I've been putting in work today. I have breakdown statistics for you after, but I'm just wondering what you think, just in general.
I'm going to say 170.
Okay, it was exactly double that. It was 340 total injuries this season so far in the BSA level. 164 of those injuries were for 14 days or fewer, so things that were listed as 1 or 2 weeks or day-to-day in-game. 118 of those injuries were on the 15-day variety. That's not 2 weeks. That's between 2 weeks and 7 weeks, whatever. And 54 were 2+ months. We only had 14 season-ending injuries, a couple of which happened recently that were like 3-month injuries, but, you know, we're at the point in the season where anything of relative length is a season-ender. So, and again, you know, I don't want to talk about this all night because everyone in the league is well aware of the stance of myself and the stance of yourself, et cetera, et cetera. But 340 injuries, are you surprised that the number is so high, or do you think it would have been lower? Or do you think it's about right where you were thinking it is?
I think it's pretty low. If you consider season injury ending, you have less than half per team. Then some of those are only 3 months. I mean, that's what did about 300 or so injuries total of varying lengths is about 12 per team. Probably some of those guys are day to day. So really, out of the
like 164 were not on the. Oh, hold on, 164 were not disabled list qualitative injuries.
Okay.
116 were up until the 60-day DL, and I will say, not that it matters, because there was 164. There was 164 injuries that weren't even registering on the DL link. But I will say, and like I said, just doesn't matter because we had so many that weren't on the DL. Most of the ones on the 15-day DL, though, they couldn't go on the 60-day DL, but most of them were longer than shorter. It wasn't two to three weeks. They were 5 to 6, 7 to 8. But they weren't 60 to DL. But like I said, we had 164 that weren't, you know, disabled list injuries per se. We had 34 that were out for 2 months or more, and I think it was 34 injuries, 3 months more, and I think it was 20 of them, 3 to 4 months. So, I mean...
Well, if you had 112 or so that were disabled list worthy, that only equates to 4 per team.
If that was the case, yes. I actually also have the breakdown per team, just for shits and giggles later. There's only one team with less than 5. Do you want to guess who that is? Actually, it doesn't matter who that is, actually, because it's a team that it's not relevant in the season. Not trying to be an asshole, but it's Maui. And I was wondering this season, you know, Maui, who has been completely just a waiver wire team with no money, and he signed like 7 or 8 minor league contracts before the season started, you know, like a Jason Jackson, like quality guys to minor league contracts. All year, I was like, how the fuck has he been competing all year with, you know, with Aldridge even being hurt for a lot of the season? And there you go. Yeah, I mean, you have no injuries. You've signed a lot of quality guys on the web hop waiver wire. You have a chance. But I just found it interesting, Kevin. Like I said, I'm sure we'll get to a void at some point. But I did want to provide statistics, you know, for people who are, you know, just information. Because there was a lot of, you know, going around. I haven't gone through everything yet. But I still have 15 loaded. And I plan on going through my almanac soon. And I don't care. I mean, I do care. I prefer lower injuries just because I like playing with injuries. I understand that's not everyone's preference. Yes. This isn't me making an argument for lower injuries because that's not going to happen. And I'm not looking for you to make a case for more injuries because you're going to put it to vote. But I was curious because your comments, everyone's comment about 15 versus 16 is more injuries than there isn't. And I felt like we were sustaining a similar injury rate. So like I told Josh today, I just wanted to, you know, just some information at least, because I mean we're going to be talking about this. It's going to be a pretty big thing, and I decided to spend the 3 hours of my life sorting everything. But if you want,
well,
real quick, Kevin.
Regardless, we should make data-driven decisions, and I know I have a very good trainer, and so that may be covering up for a lot of my injuries that I otherwise would have gotten. But really, I've only had one guy who's missing the whole
right
season.
I have yours right here.
And then two guys who are missing.
Yeah, and it's one of your favorite players. This is exactly what I was talking about too. And this is really the root of the conversation I want to get to. When injuries got changed, Kevin, high versus low. No one was. I never think the argument was this isn't fun. I think it's just a personal preference on how we play the game, which, you know, is understanding. There's 30 different people in this league, 28 different people. You know, there's going to be differences. There's going to be – okay, hold on. Give me 1 second. Aaron's confused again. Yes, hold on.
I genuinely see a major difference between –
Aaron, hold on, Aaron. You're on, Aaron. Hold on, Kevin. Aaron, you're holding on. Hold on real quick. Let Kevin finish his train of thought.
I've seen a major difference. Again, I don't know whether that's because of my trainer. I have a lot better trainer now. I just know that I went from, I think, 22 out of my 25 guys were injured in a single season. Now I've got maybe 2 or 3. And I'm not necessarily complaining because I think – it's more enjoyable to watch some of my guys succeed, and certainly I don't dread the injury emails like I used to, and that was a beautiful every time I opened it. But I just think it's worth bringing up for discussion that if, in my opinion, OOTP fixed what was inherently broken in older versions, then maybe we should go back to it. I think we turned down injuries because there was a sense that it wasn't necessarily as reflective as what the real world was.
Wholeheartedly agree. And I just wanted to voice my opinion, since we're doing the podcast, that I'm not necessarily against the said increase in injuries. It's not my I don't think it's going to hurt the league. It's not my personal preference on how I play. But I understand that some people it is. It is what it is. It's not going to necessarily affect the teams, you know, as I mentioned, with higher payrolls, with better teams, because, you know, they can sustain injuries. It's not necessarily going to affect, quote-unquote, to use myself as an example, my team and the relative just now. But my main concern is, Kevin, and I was talking to Josh about this today, is I went to the league, 18 teams, I believe, Joshua, is Scott. I don't remember. One of the two. Half the teams, more than half the teams are in the red. So more injuries means more guys getting called up, means more money being paid out, means going further into the red. And all, and as you pointed out, your injuries this season, and again, I'm just bringing up counterpoints here, your injuries have went down because you signed a better trainer. I've had my trainer who, you know, I have a fair amount of injuries every year. You know, I like to fucking complain about it because it's not my personal preference. But I've had a fair amount of injuries, quote-unquote, and I have a fairly fucking good trainer. I look through teams year after year. I was talking to Flaherty. He has fucking over 30 injuries every season. He says he can't get a good trainer if he tries. I mean, I'm sure he forgets to export or whatever. Flaherty, love you. But, I mean, there are situations where in a league that is uber competitive as BSA is, where there's only a certain amount of established, like my scout is a legendary scout every single category. I'm paying him over $3 million. I mean, you play Coke, but I've had him since Madison let go in 2014. Like, that guy's just never becoming available. You know what I mean? He can do it until he retires. Because unlike free agents, coaches don't just leave. I mean, they do a little bit more, but not to that kind of level of thinking. Aaron, we talked a little bit earlier about this. Welcome to the podcast. For those of you who don't know Aaron, Baffin Island, everyone knows Aaron. But for the new guys here, Aaron is, he's famous here on Poddammit. He has really the worst podcast in the history of anything we've ever done. Aaron, welcome to the show.
This is true. It is the worst podcast ever. That's why I wanted to be the third wheel on this one, so Kevin could carry my dead weight.
You know, as I spoke to you on G-Chat, Aaron, I think it was more of a, you know, I talk quickly, Travis couldn't really understand sometimes, you know, not because he talked quick, but because of his accent, and we just weren't aware that the Skype was going to take 2 or 3 seconds. So, Kevin, after Aaron talks, I mean, you know how we just ignore him usually. Just do that for like 3 to 5 seconds to let his connection really suffer.
Well, I don't know if I should be on this call. We have two division leaders on the phone, and then I'm actually, after this sim, because it's so tight in the CL West, I'm in last place in the CL West. It's a complete...
I saw that.
...mashup between fifth and second place. I think there's two games that separate everybody.
Two and a half.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like 57 and 53 and 53 and 57 or something, right? I mean, not exactly that, but I mean, it was that tight of a gap, right? And then St. Charles is dancing over all you fools.
Yeah,
I
pretty
have.
Much.
I mean, poor Jordan's trying to lose.
You can have a better record than Toronto.
Right. Man, would that second wild card be fun right now, but that's not a discussion for here. And it doesn't really matter anyway. St. Louis would and New Jersey would have that wild card like 15 plus games. But yes, no, I did notice, Kevin, that your division is what we like to call, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen at that division. I mean, speaking of injuries, you lost your best player. Not your best player, but your most fun player. You lost Buddha, you know, for the season. Unfortunate.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Definitely losing Buddha hurt. I've lost a couple games. But I think the reason we're seeing all these teams tighten up is that we've all kind of been rebuilding over the last couple of years, and we're all trying to make a run at the same time. I think most of us are maybe a year or two away. Jordan probably considers himself 2 years away.
I think Jordan's further away.
Quite possibly, minimum two.
I just think that Jordan, no matter what he does, no matter what he tries to do to lose in terms of, you know, he just can't do it. He's like trading everyone. I mean, not trying to give up, but trading everyone for the future, and he's still winning games. So I mean, it's funny. It is what it is. Jordan can't get a better pick if he tries. This hasn't had a good pick since probably 2000 and whatever when he got, who did he get early on? Not Doby, but the pitcher. But I mean, he hasn't had a pick in a long time. And I find it really funny that, like you said, your division all rebuilt at the same time. As I mentioned to you earlier on G-Chat, Kevin, Nate's done a great job in Reno. Also, having Josh Giraffe for that team and not trade anyone and not sign anyone for 3 years also helped. So, you know, we get a good GM in there, you know, with a solid plan and someone who has lots of money to do stuff with. And it's very beneficial when you have money and you have a good system and you can kind of go from there. I do find it funny, though. A newer GM in Chicago, Dave Leib, I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, seems to know what he's doing pretty well. And I had this conversation with Billy the other day online. It was very brief because Billy, you know, sometimes is brief, but with me at least, sometimes brief. I message him at odd hours. But open-ended question. And I want an honest opinion. And I don't want anything can happen it's baseball. And it's up to me to one of you. Greenville, St. Louis, and Jersey. Is anybody else ever going to win that division aside from those three teams in the next 15 seasons?
It would be extremely difficult.
I mean,
I brought Lachman, in the other league that I'm in with him, he pulled off two championships in 4 years within 5 years of him coming in. So he does know what he's doing, and he
definitely knows what he's doing. I can tell that already. I like him a lot.
He's going to be good. As long as he can stick around and turn that team around and actually have a plan for it, he's going to do it.
I feel bad because I was talking to Josh earlier about this as well, and I know that, you know, Rob hasn't always had the best teams, but I feel like Madison's had a couple 90-win teams in that division over the past 10 seasons. He's had all of his prospects timed out correctly and just has had no chance. So if anyone's going to do it, I think it's probably Dave because Rob's had his chance and hasn't. But it was an absolute joy to see Jersey finally for the first time in probably three seasons making any sort of substantial move at the deadline. Bosma for the first time in three seasons doing absolutely nothing this year in terms of making, you know, transactions. And, you know, Billy and you exchanging Buzzsaw and Super Mario, which I was shocked to see both of you make that trade. But
that
I feel
is
like
the
that
best
division
that happened to anyone. Mario Garcia is off. He's hitting 400. And Jorge Morales, he's hitting over 300 as a right-handed batter in Baffin with 13 home runs already. That trade couldn't have worked out better for anyone.
But it worked out very well for you both this year. You know, I'm not going to judge the trade because Super Mario is my second favorite player in the BSA. A, because I love his nickname. And B, because I think he's the second-best player in the entire league behind Dodd, but that's just my personal opinion, offensively. And yes, Jason, that does I think he's better than Doyle. And I'm sorry that you've been able to trade Doyle for the fifth deadline in a row. It's interesting, though, because, you know, guys, I find it super funny that division, and you know, I really want to talk about it for a second. That division, to me, is fucking batshit crazy. And we kind of mentioned it briefly too, Kevin. I mean, I wouldn't mind if we were ever to realign. I think it has to be four divisions, personally, because I think that, you know, it'd be silly to realign six divisions. But I don't know how you can break that division up if you're doing it, you know, centrally located wise.
Are you saying two divisions per league?
Yeah, I am. I think it would have to be that. I don't think you can realign six divisions.
One division of.
Go ahead.
It wouldn't quite work because you'd have one division of three teams on each league, so it wouldn't quite work.
Yeah, with the expansion, it makes things a little more difficult in terms of not that I'm saying don't expand. I'm excited, but it makes a little things more difficult when you're adding two odd teams. But I mean, come on. I mean, if we were not to expand a division of Los Angeles, Los Cabos, Irvine, San Francisco, Vista, Seattle, and you know, Pocatello would be super fun. I mean, there's lots of cool, fun options. And then you could still keep your Baffin, your Boston, your Niagara. But then you don't know where to put, you know, Hendersonville. And if you're going to realign legitimately, they got to go in there. It's just Toronto would go to Baffin's division. It could be fun. I mean, it could be fun theoretically. I just don't see us doing it. I think if we were going to do it, we would have done it instead of realigning. But that's not the direction we went to. But I really do think, guys, for as dominant as that division's been, it really proves to me how much of a crapshoot the playoffs are. Aaron, you know how much of a crapshoot the playoffs are. You've been there just as much as anybody else has been. And for a Baffin to sit here at this point without a title, 14 seasons in, is silly. You know?
So who's the favorite this year to win the division or to win the World Series?
In each league or in, you know, you're talking about just overall?
Overall. Pick both leagues and then pick, I guess we should start by, I honestly think for the most part the divisions are locked up. I think Baffin's going to win.
Well,
Los Angeles,
has climbed their way back up. He acquired a lot of room, and I got to give JJ credit there.
It's about fucking time.
The Frenzy have won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
They're hot. I mean, this season, you know, JJ's really turned it around, as you pointed out. I mean, in terms of consecutively, I mean, last year was Manny Capraziz's only season he's never made the playoffs. I mean, thanks, JJ.
Since the end of June, JJ has in July has a .750 winning percentage and an .818 winning percentage in August. So he pulled some shit together to make something work. It's going to be a fun time down the stretch here. I'm going to actually have some competition other than Boston.
Right. All right. No, I agree. You, Aaron, you kind of went through the same thing I went through. I've been having the challenger of the year lately fighting for the wild card in my division every year, along with me. You know, me winning my division, but someone else is always up there with me till, like, you know, mid-August, September, and then fighting for the wild card. You've kind of had the same thing, but, you know, just with Boston over the 10 seasons. I had a thing going with Los Cabos for 6 or 7 seasons. He fell out. Now Irvine, you know, has been there for the last 4 seasons. And I kind of agree with Kevin. I mean, I don't see anyone beating you, Aaron, and I'm not just, you know, trying to go for the jinx, reverse jinx, PSA trademark here. I just don't see anyone beating you in that division. I think I win my division, and I think HBO wins their division. And I think that either – I think one of – I mean, in Boston, hell. Our league is so ultra-competitive at the top right now in terms of the playoff matchups. I mean, it's going to be super fun. It's me and Aaron are pretty much locked into a first round series, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be Boston LA again, no doubt.
Who wins the division?
Time, 6 times, 7 times.
Who wins between Austin and Toronto? And to give you a little bit of background, Austin has been incredibly hot. They've gone, it looks like 8-2 or in August. Meanwhile, Toronto has gone 6-4.
I've got Austin and their pitching. His top 3 guys, Lynn, Bamber, and Martinez. They're probably the best top 3 in that division. And then his hitting is starting to pick. So I gotta go with Austin. His pitching is head and shoulders above Toronto's starting.
Now, it's funny that I'm glad that you disagree with me, and I mean, it's just, and I think both of us would agree that that division could go either way as it has throughout the most of the season, but I'm going Toronto, and I'm going by 7 or 8 games. I think Toronto, you know, the trade for King Martinez, playing a mature, obviously just saying, fuck defense, fuck pitching, don't need it, and he's for the most part, quote-unquote, for the most part, efforts, proved it could really work. I mean, Martinez, Lugo, Mango, his lineup's insane, he has Murillo sitting in the minors, coming up soon. You know, his offense is just stupid, and he tells me all the time. He says, Mikey, he says, you don't fucking need pitching. You just need to be able to hit the ball really fucking well. I'm like, okay. He's like, and you don't fucking need defense either. Who gives a fuck? And it's funny because me and Aaron sit here. It's funny because me and Aaron, our teams always have been fairly light. I mean, your team's a little different than mine, Aaron, but our teams have always been fairly like-minded in our strategies in terms of defense and stuff like that. And I built my team, you know, around defense for years. You having to do a little bit more so due to your part. But for someone to tell me, don't fucking give a shit about defense, it means absolutely nothing. Pitching's absolutely nothing. He has garbage pitchers. And, he traded Moose. Let's, level, whatever. We didn't have for most of the season. We didn't have for most of the year anyways. But, I mean, he's literally proven over the past 3 years that with level, like, label, with label, whatever, he's literally proven that with one starting pitcher over the past 4 seasons, it doesn't matter. He's making World Series. He's getting close. Like, I can't necessarily argue with him. Adding Martinez to that lineup behind Doyle and Mango and Lugo and Murillo and his shortstop and Yamamoto. I mean, his lineup, I mean, he's not Jersey. He's not St. Louis. He's not Greenville, who I think we'd all agree, unquestionably, benign are easily the best lineups in the league. But his lineup is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's just, there's no holes. There's no easy outs. He has 2 quality pitchers at the top. They're not aces. They're probably number 2s or 3s. He has 1 guy who's probably number 1, but he's a couple years away. His bullpen's remade. He's actually been the most injured team this year by far. I mentioned Kevin and I was going to go through all the teams with you, but I don't think we're going to have time. I'll post it on the podcast later if you guys are interested. But he has by far been the most injured team this year, like not even close. Of any of the playoff teams, like not even close. And he's still right there, and you know, he's had season injuries, and he's had some of the longer injuries. And I think his offense is just at the end of the day. I mean, I hate to say it because I know Goldie likes giving me a hard time, but Jeff hasn't been there for a while. You know, has he forgot how to win? All those players in Austin who used to win.
Here's where I think Jeff is really at a disadvantage: is looking at the remaining schedule. Jeff, so you got the guys who play all the, you got the guys you play all the time, but then Jeff also has to face the Bruins, Baffin, and Orlando. Meanwhile, Toronto, their remaining schedule outside their division is limited to New York, Cleveland,
Maui.
Do they have Maui left as well? Yep, Maui, Cleveland, and New York, which is a whole lot easier. And then they share the same Continental League opponents for the remainder.
I mean, it's only six games, right? It used to be nine games, but it's only six games, right? All the interleagues are two games now?
Yeah, he's got two against San Francisco. Oh, Toronto has San Francisco, too. So Toronto has a very easy schedule remaining in August and September, especially when you compare it to Austin, who again is facing LA, Irvine, Baffin, and Orlando.
So basically four playoff teams versus four non-playoff teams. I mean,
yep.
2-6 stretch for Austin and it's over. Even if I don't know. I didn't even know that. I just think Toronto has a better team, and I would love to see Jeff get in there. You know, he hasn't been in there for a while. And I don't know if you guys look at it. I've always talked about me looking very, very in-depth at playoff stats. I believe they matter. They probably don't. In my little mind and little heart of hearts, I like to pretend that they matter, I guess. But if they do matter, I mean, aside from Bamber, who does he have that's been there? He has a whole, you know, a whole new cast of characters. And at least for the narrative point of, you know, it's baseball, so anything can happen in October, guys. But it's going to be very interesting. Very, very interesting. I think St. Charles, obviously, guys, has run away with that division. I think Greenville, I mean, obviously Jersey and St. Louis could get ridiculously hot, but I don't see Greenville going in a slump to even lose that seven-game lead. And I think the playoffs are going to be Boston, Hendersonville, L.A., Baffin, lock it up. I think it's over. Niagara Falls could get there. I love Dave's rotation. His lineup's ridiculous. And I think it's going to be Toronto versus Greenville again for the sixth season in a row, and first matchup of the playoffs again for the sixth season in a row. And I think it's going to be, St. Charles and Jersey. I think, son of a bitch, that's the one team that Jersey doesn't want to face. I don't think that's one thing to say. I think St. Charles is fucking winning your guys' league. There, I said it.
I
fucking love Glenn Rosser. Call me crazy.
I got to go with Greenville in the CL, and for me, the team in the NL is Hendersonville. Joao went out and spent money that Travis saved, and he's clearly running away with it. I can't beat him, so he's definitely going to win.
You know, everyone has their Achilles heel, and mine for years until I got over the hump was fucking Boston. So it is what it is. It's just funny that everybody has that one team, and the good teams that they can't beat. Like, me and you, for the most part, split our series, for the most part. I think I may be up 3-2 or something like that, or you're up 3-2. I mean, whatever, we're close. Hendersonville's the one, not Boston. Hendersonville's the one team I can't beat.